great singing, great thought, and praise the Lord. All right, if you have your Bibles, we'll be starting in 1 Corinthians. I think, Jess, somebody came in a little bit late. If you can help them find their way in, that'd be great. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 is where we'll be. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I'm going to start at verse 19. I want to talk tonight about get and keep your crowns. Get and keep your crowns. And 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we'll start at verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain those that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, not being without law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every one that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we are grateful for the Word of God and all that it has for us, Lord. There's so many things. It's so rich, so much in this passage, so much in 1 Corinthians. And Lord, we thank you. We have the eternal Word of God with one mind, one thought, one way of, just one way. Lord, we thank you for the clarity of the Bible. Lord, we pray for your Spirit to move tonight and you to help us to realize the opportunity we have. Time's a ticking and life is short. And eternity is long, and we've got to obtain some things, Lord, and I pray you'd help us and help us to realize the opportunity and live with urgency. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in this passage, we see Paul is very focused on winning souls to Christ. And he says, I have to preach the gospel, and I'm going to do what makes it easiest to preach the gospel to somebody. I'm willing to change. I'm willing to give in. I'm willing to be different. I'm willing to act a different way or eat whatever I have to eat or do whatever, because I want to become what the people need so I can meet their needs, okay? And we all do that when we go on missions trips as a church. We tell you, just eat what they put in front of you and just become one of them and act like them and be their friends and don't act like an American and teach you how to become one of them. And why? Because people, they respond better to people who aren't strange to them, okay? And so Paul's willing to change all that. He says it's no big deal. It's not like I'm great for doing this. He's verse 16. For though I preach a gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Paul says, hey, this thing's so important, I have to do it. And again, I don't, and I'm so glad I was brought up around soul winners and soul winning Christians, and Christians who are out there in the harvest field and witnesses, because I don't understand how you don't witness. Take that back. I understand how you don't witness. It's the easiest thing in the world not to be a witness. It's hard to witness, but how you can just justify that and say you love God and love people and just let them fall off the cliff to hell all day long, you never tell anybody. And I don't like to. I'm embarrassed. I'm not good at it. You can give whatever excuse you want. Paul says, I have to. Necessity is laid upon me. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I'm in big trouble. And so Paul says, and I will become to the Jew. I'll become as a Jew. To the Gentile, I'll become as a Gentile. As free, as bond, whatever I need to do to relate to me. Anything I can do to help reach people for the gospel. He says, that's what I do. Verse 22, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. He says, I'm not like a person without law to God. I'm still going to keep the commandments. But culturally, whatever I can do to try to reach them, to try to love them, to meet their needs. If they're weak, I'm not going to act like I'm some strong person they're intimidated by if they're not going to hear the gospel because of it. I want to be what they need to be. if somebody is sharp and a business person and they need me to dress sharp and act like I know what I'm talking about and be first class, then I'll do that for them. If there's somebody who's poor and they need me to eat off a dirty plate, I'll eat off a dirty plate. Whatever I need to do, I'll do, because I want to win them to Christ. I want to be their friend. I want them to be able to relate to me. And so he says it's urgent that I do that. So notice how he is bringing himself under control. Whatever I need to do, I will do that thing. Okay? And with that context, verse 23, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not? Then he goes to sports. It's a good day to do that. Well, they're playing Super Bowl right now. I have no idea who's winning. But right now they're playing Super Bowl. And right now they are giving every ounce of everything they have to try to get a Super Bowl ring. And Paul says, those who do that, and Paul uses sports analogies a lot. Know ye not they that run a race run all? Everybody runs, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. Nobody's going to leave the Super Bowl and say, well, at least I played in the game. They're going to be brokenhearted and cry when they don't win the Super Bowl. One of the teams will. And the other one will be joyous and happy. And why? Because they run to obtain. They run to obtain that prize. You know, there are people who may have been called the greatest ever in football, but they never won a Super Bowl, and nobody thinks of them as the greatest. Dan Marino's like that. Nobody thinks Dan Marino's the best quarterback who ever lived, but you look at it statistically, and look what he did, and look at the team around him, he may have very well been, but he never won a Super Bowl. He never obtained that. So he's one of the good ones. And people run in a race to obtain, and it commands us, run that ye may obtain. He says, I am focused to win souls. I am focused. I'm bringing myself under control. I'm doing whatever I have to do. I've got to do this. And now you, athletes run to win a prize. Only one gets a prize. You be the one who runs to get the prize. That's what God says to you. Verse 25, and every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. He says, I therefore so run. Not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away. He says, I keep my body under control. I keep my body focused. He says, a person who's a great athlete, an elite athlete, you understand what they eat is under control. How they exercise is under control. One of the funniest things they ever say is they get caught for doing something, certain kind of drug. And they say, no, I didn't know this had this in this. They're always lying when they say that. And everybody in sports knows that. The average layman will say, oh, he just took a vitamin and it had that drug. And you understand, these athletes, what they do is worth millions, and sometimes with the sports teams, billions of dollars. Okay? And they know every little microscopic detail that goes in their body. They're very elite. What time they get up is controlled. How many calories they eat is under control. What they can eat, what kind of high-energy foods, what kind of things to help their muscles, what kind of exercise they do and don't do. And you might do some things you think that's a good exercise, and they may say, I would never touch that. It does not make my this powerful enough and that strong enough, and it gives me too much strength here. They are temperate in all things. But they do it to get a corruptible crown. That'll rot away someday. That won't matter someday. Who knows? The crown that somebody won for running a race in Paul's day. Nobody knows who that is. Nobody knows what award they won. That's corruptible. It goes away. But Paul says to do an incorruptible. So I bring my body into subjection. Do you have your body in subjection? You shouldn't say, I sure wish I could lose weight, or I sure wish I could gain this, or I sure wish I could change this, or I sure wish I could quit eating this, or I sure wish I could quit drinking that, or I sure wish that I could wake up earlier. You should never say those statements. Amen. Paul says, I bring my body into subjection. Say, body, you're going to do this because this is what needs to be done to reach souls. And you're not going to do this, Paul. I bring my body into subjection because I am trying to obtain a corruptible crown, an incorruptible crown. He says, these people are so intense and they work so hard and they focus so long. And an Olympic athlete, they train from the time they're 4 years old until they're 16. Every day, their whole life, they get tutors, their whole schooling's different, their diet is different, they grow up different. There are all these weird things. Why? So they can compete in something that takes about 2.5 minutes. Everything for that moment to obtain that crown. It says we get incorruptible. I think it's interesting. He says they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. You know, these crowns were made of gold and silver. You know, one of the fascinating things about, I always think it's interesting, is that gold and silver is not very corruptible. You know, you can go to a shipwreck that sank in 1640, and if you can get underneath there and you can find their treasure chest, that gold is not rusty. That silver is not rusty. It is beautiful. And you can shine it and take it, and nobody will know that it's 400 years old at all once you clean it up. Why? It doesn't corrupt. But Paul calls earthly crowns corruptible. What we get in heaven is so much better that it's incorruptible compared to the gold and silver of this world. I think that's interesting. So he's temperate. He's under control. He's choosing. Why? He says, I'm not like a guy who's shadow boxing. I'm not like one who beats the air. I'm not running uncertainly of which way do I go. I am focused. I am under control. But I keep my body and bring it into subjection. And I say, I don't know if I want to go to church tonight. I'm tired. That's not what's in Paul. Paul said, I am trying to obtain. I'm trying to do this. Lest by any means not preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. And so he's like that. Now, there's some crowns. We are looking for incorruptible crowns, the Bible says. I'm going to give you some of the crowns we can earn in the Bible and just a couple thoughts about them. And just list a few crowns for you that the Bible gives. I think we'll get all of them. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And this is a first crown we're going to talk about. This is the crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Let's finish that verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Paul says, hey, I get a crown ready for me. I earned it. I earned my crown. Isn't that good? Now, how do you earn that crown? He says, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me, shall. He already knew he obtained it. Isn't that good? At that day, not me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. The way to earn this crown is to love Christ's coming. Christ's appearing. To love his appearing. As if you keep loving Christ's appearing, you get what's called the crown of righteousness. That's fascinating. Let me take you to 1 John. Why do you get a crown of righteousness for loving Christ appearing? 1 John 3. But I'm going to take you to the end of chapter 2 in verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, remember, they love his appearing, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. If you are looking for, we'll read that in a second, and saying, even so come, Lord Jesus, and you love the thought of Jesus coming back, the Bible says you get a crown of righteousness. Well, one thing, it makes you pure, it says, just to do that. When you're saying, even so come, Lord Jesus, when you have that hope in you, the earnest expectation, the looking forward to Jesus coming back, you get the crown of righteousness, and you get to look forward to that. And what a wonderful thing it is. Titus chapter 2, just a little bit farther back. From here, Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, looking for and hastening. I can't wait. I can't wait for Jesus to come back. I am looking for it. That's Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. Crown of righteousness for those who are looking forward to Jesus coming back. Let me ask you this. When was the last time you thought about that and made it your hope and made it a joy you're looking forward to? The Bible says, what he says, God is going to give me a crown of righteousness, and the Lord will give to every man who loves the hope of his coming. Every man, he says, that gets that. Again, I'm quoting just a touch wrong there. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, 2 Timothy 4:8, but to all them that love his appearing. So, you got it right there. No question about it. No wondering. Paul says, I got the crown coming. You can earn that crown. In heaven, you can walk around with that crown in your head forever. Forever. What do you got that's dear to you? You get something from a relative that's something old, something that has been passed down in the family. What do you have that's precious to you? I've got some things that were given to me by people overseas, and they're wonderful to me and very beautiful to me and sacred to me because somebody gave them to me. And some of them might not seem that important to you. I love bamboo, and I've been given some bamboo things over from different countries, and I love the bamboo things they give me. I can't get it in America. And somebody gave that to me. And just think that's a cool thing because somebody gave that to me when I was over there doing God's work. But how about in eternity you have a crown? All you have to do is love his appearing. And you get that first crown. Second crown, 1 Peter chapter 5. This is one, unfortunately, if I understand it right, that not everybody can earn. But some can. And the first one, anybody can earn. I'm just going to give you the crowns of the Bible that it mentions very clearly. 1 Peter chapter 5, we're reading this morning. It says, verse 1, it says, the elders which are among you I exhort, 1 Peter 5, 1, who am also an elder and a witness the sufferings of Christ and a partaker of the glory which shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples of the flocks. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. This one appears, looks to me like a pastor can earn this if they feed the flock of God and be an example to them, a faithful pastor. They can earn this crown. And so this second crown is a crown of glory. And that may be for everybody. Maybe they can earn it somehow by feeding people spiritual food and by leading people to God and all those things. But obviously, clearly it says you can earn that. You'll receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. When Jesus comes back, you get that crown. And that is another one. Next crown is James chapter 1. This one's interesting. This is one that you can earn. Anybody can earn this one. You want to wear crowns in heaven? Multiple crowns, many crowns? You can earn them. They're there for you. It's just up to us. James chapter 1. And verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. That's pretty cool. It says, you get this crown of life by enduring temptation. We'll get a little bit clearer on this. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. I don't think you know how awesome this is. But also you're in my happy little world to know how awesome this is. And this is good stuff. And be excited because we can earn these crowns. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, there's that kind of phrase about not the corruptible stuff, though it be tried with fire, might be found into praise and honor and glory at his appearing. This is the crown of life. And he says, you know what? If you will handle your temptation, if you will handle a trial of your faith, and you rejoice, it says, if need be, you're through manifold temptation. Isn't that weird? God says, if you will handle your temptation right, you can get this crown of life. How do you handle temptation? Do you do it with thank you, Lord. I'm going to make this, and I'm going to trust you, God. And I'm rejoicing because this is going to make it so I'll come forth as gold. And I'm going to not sit here and be miserable and weep and say it's hopeless. And why me? And woe is me. And then you give in and you fail when you're tempted. Or do you take the opportunity when you're tried? Like Job and others, you come forth with a crown. Like Paul, no wonder he knew he had crowns. He went through all those trials. And in prison, after being beat, what does he do? He rejoices. When you're tried, when you're tempted, that's your chance to earn this crown. Now, this is the only crown that you have two different ways of earning it. The first one is you do really well when you're tempted and tried. You say, I'm not going to do that. That's the easier one. Okay? The other way, if you go to Revelation chapter 2, there's another way to earn the same crown of life. First, you endure temptation well. I'd recommend that one. Because the second one gives you, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 9, you can earn this crown of life also. Revelation chapter 2, and let's go to verse 9. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them which say thee are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee the crown of life. You find later in Revelation that the martyrs, they're wearing crowns. You can endure temptation well, or you can go ahead and be a martyr. But those are the two ways to earn the crown of life. Now, who wants to endure temptation well instead of be a martyr? Raise your hand. Okay, and how many, the rest of you, I guess, how many then you want to be a martyr? Raise your hand. Okay, there you go. And that's fine. And just don't be by me when you're caught. And I will stand back in the crowd and say, amen. And I'd be a martyr if I had to be for Jesus. And what a great honor it would be to be a martyr for Jesus. But that's probably unlikely. It could happen in America, but unlikely. But you know what? You get a special crown for that. And you can also get the crown without being a martyr. If you're in a free country and you're free and you're blessed, then why don't you earn it the other way? Why don't you endure temptation well? And you can get the crown of life. There's another crown that's on earth as well in heaven. You get to enjoy this crown on earth. Philippians chapter 4. This is a crown that you can get. This is a crown that anybody can get. Very few Christians ever get this one. This is a crown you can have right here on earth. Even before you die, you can get this crown. And then you can have it forever. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. You know what his crown was? His converts. His converts. He says, man, I look at you and say, that's my crown right there. That's a beautiful thing that I've done something that mattered and it's continuing on and they're still serving. You say, well, will that be in heaven? I'll go to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. See, you can enjoy your crown right down here. You can have a convert in church. You can have somebody there with you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That's 1 Thessalonians 2, sorry. 1 Thessalonians 2 in verse 19 and 20. I think that was that, and I wrote it wrong. Verse 19, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. For of course, 3 John 4, I have no greater joy than to see my children walk in truth. He says, you're my joy and glory and crown to be presented with you when Jesus comes back. And there's another verse where Paul says, I want to be presented, I'll be presented with you. You get presented with your converts, and they're your crowns. That's the soul that went to Christ. That's the family member that I was able to raise for the Lord, and they're saved, and they're serving God. That's the person I was able to disciple, and they're my crown. Isn't that a good thing? You can have a crown right there. You can have a crown in the room with you. And by the way, it's a pretty precious crown that lasts forever. That's why witnessing to people, bringing them to church, inviting them to church, discipling somebody, lifting somebody who's fallen, and getting them to serve the Lord, Oh, what a joy and crown it is. Paul says, I've done a lot of things, but you're my joy and crown. You can have that. That's yours if you want it. You say, when? How will I find somebody? How will I do that? I'm not very good at it. You know, I ask God for, Lord, give me a convert that will come to church. You know God gave me that right after I prayed that. You know, if you'll just seek it, ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Say, God, give me somebody I can influence. Give me somebody I can win to you. Give me someone I can bring to church. God wants that more than you, but you got to ask and you shall receive. You have not because you ask not, and ask for some converts. Isn't that wonderful? They can be with you. So we have a crown of righteousness, a crown of glory. Crown of righteousness is for love and his appearing. Crown of glory is for faithful pastors. Crown of life is for enduring temptation and passing the test, or for martyrdom. The crown on earth is your converts as well as in heaven. Couple things. Earning a crown will take toughness. We're near there, so let's go to 2 Timothy. You will have to be tough. The devil fights those people trying to earn crowns. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If any man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. You have to endure hardness. You have to do it the right way. You can't be a wimp. You can't be a cheater. Now listen, it's one of the things that I think that makes me struggle the most with people is wimpy people. And I live in a wimpy generation, in a wimpy nation, in a wimpy area. I'll just be honest with you. Oh, it's hard. Oh, how am I going to make that? I'm just tired. I don't want to. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Can you imagine if the football game, one of the players said, they tackled me. I'm not playing anymore. Listen, you can be tough to serve God and obtain crowns. You're striving for mastery. If you can't get up in the morning, you can't read your Bible, you can't pray, you can't say no to some temptation, you can't go witness when you're a little embarrassed. Listen, you're in the wrong war, man. You need to be in the pillow fight war with soft pillows and swing with one finger. You're not in the right war. You're fighting the devil. You can't be a wimp, and you got to be strong. Next, don't let a person take your crown. Revelation chapter 3. Somebody can take your crown from you. Then you lost it forever. Well, that'd be awful, wouldn't it? You had it, and then you let some person take it away from you. Revelation chapter 3. In verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that are upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Keep hold of that thing. You got the crown. You earned it. Don't let anybody take it. How can a person take your crown? Well, here, persecution. When the test comes, you fail and you deny Christ. You don't keep on going. Could be somebody makes you bitter and you give up on serving God because you become bitter and that person took your crown. Could be some pretty girl or some handsome boy takes your crown. Could be somebody that goes and makes fun of you because you serve God and you quit serving God and they took your crown. But let no man take your crown. You had it. They took it away. What are you doing? You just lost it. And you don't get it back in eternity. You missed out. Jesus took a crown for you. Matthew 27:29. He took a crown of thorns. Don't you want to have some crowns in heaven? Let me just show you in Revelation chapter 4 something. Revelation chapter 4, since we're near there. Think of verse 4. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon these seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed with white raiment, and on their heads they had crowns of gold. Look at verse 10. And the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things. You know why? These people had earned crowns. And by the way, we find out later they rule and reign with Christ with their crowns and they're in charge. But they've said, here, you're king of kings. We're kings and priests with God because we earned crowns. Here's my crown. I cast it at your feet because you're king of kings and Lord of lords. They had something to present to Jesus. Don't you want to have a crown when you walk around heaven? You know, understand, let's say there's 5 billion people in heaven. I have no idea how many people will be in heaven. Let's say 500,000 or 500,000,000, 500 million have crowns. And some have one. And some have two. And some have three. Do you want to walk around for eternity without a crown? Or maybe you don't wear them. Maybe you stack. Maybe they stack on top of each other. You can wear 5 or 10 for, I don't know, for each temptation. I don't know. Maybe you keep them in your mansion. But you get crowns. And you can earn them. And you can get them. And you can lose them. This week, just a little footnote for the Super Bowl. One of the two teams playing, the Broncos, they had a safety who decided to stay out too late and do some really bad things. His family had been invited and given tickets to the Super Bowl, and he was going to be in the Super Bowl, number 50. And he couldn't resist some temptations this week, and he got arrested for a stupid thing. And team sent him home. He didn't get in the sidelines. His family didn't get to watch him play. And he'll have never probably played in the Super Bowl. Or been in the stadium. His team said, you can't be in the area. You go home. Here's your ticket. For a little stupid fun one night. That he could have had next week. But you know what? It's amazing the price that sin costs. And it takes away forever your chance to get these crowns. What an opportunity you have to earn crowns. But it's going to take some discipline. It's going to take some enduring hardness. It's going to take some not cheating and just fighting your way through it and just enduring and grasping a run that you may obtain and bring your body into subjection, because these crowns are not easy to earn. Paul says, run that ye may obtain. That's what God says. Run that ye may obtain. People who are striving for masteries work pretty hard. You ought to work harder for an incorruptible crown. Work harder for incorruptible crown. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your word. I pray tonight that we understand we have a chance to earn several crowns or many crowns. Lord, I don't know. But I know these ones you mentioned. I pray tonight that we'd realize we have these opportunities to earn these crowns. And right now is the only chance. When we die, when you come back, done. Maybe tonight you'll come back, done. No more opportunity to earn crowns. May tonight we run that we may obtain. May we take advantage of this opportunity to get these great rewards and earn these things. And may we not let anybody take them. Oh, what an opportunity. Lord, we have good people here tonight, dedicated people to you. I pray tonight that love and dedication to you would turn to focus to running that they may obtain. We pray for your help in this, and we pray you give us victories and crowns so we can cast them at your feet maybe someday and show you that these crowns are nothing compared to you, but we do have something to give you. Lord, thank you for the word that shows us these things, and I pray tonight that we would have that focus that Paul talked about that he had. Flesh and blood just like us, Lord. Running to obtain, not beating the air, but fighting to win. And we have that in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Pianist is coming.